our play.
TV, finished air TV, row 1, column 1. Top shelf content available. Finish receiving airplay.
There, how's that?
Can you start over?
Not going to start over. But the word steal does means to stealthily take something, carry it away from another person or from God. And so as we work our way through, first of all, there's four R's here that we're going to go through. One of them is remembering. Remembering the Lord is the creator and everything belongs to him. So here's the thing. God made it, so he owns it. God made it, so he owns it. These clothes that we have, this property we have, the cars we drive, the people that are in our lives, God made it, so he owns it. And so everything and everyone that the Lord has made must absolutely be respected. And so that's why he says, you shall not steal. God's given Tanya blessings that I don't have, talents and gifts and things like that. God has given me blessings that she doesn't have or you may not have, then it's not yours to take because it comes from God. God blesses every person individually. And here's the thing. Psalms 24 lays out this principle. He says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The stars. You know, don't you love online how people can buy a star? Somebody's making money off it. That star belongs to me now. You know, I'll never be able to go and get it in space. But it really doesn't. It belongs to God. The world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it on the rivers. Or there's a hymn that I used to sing as a kid. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills and all the moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. So God says, I don't need to tell you I'm hungry or that I need anything. I never need anything because everything belongs to me already. And that's the power of that scripture. God made it, he owns it, and everything that he's made. So we have to remember that the Lord is the creator of everything, and everything belongs to him. Every person belongs to him. Number two is a responsibility in stewardship of the Lord's blessing. So first of all, this means living with the attitude that all that we have belongs to God. And so it's shifting from, this is mine and I got to keep it at all costs. This is mine and that's theirs. I'm going to try to get it from them so I can have more. It means living with the attitude that everything belongs to God. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And that's a beautiful word, varied grace. That means a multifaceted, like a diamond grace, that God has blessed every single one of you, no matter how young or how old, with different gifts. He says, whoever speaks, as the one who speaks the oracles of God. Because everything we speak comes from God. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as we look at this, we are called to be stewards of what God has given us as a foundation. Secondly, this means we live with open hands and generosity. For if we're not generous, that is violating the eighth commandment as we unpack this more. You're familiar with 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the church that was giving a gift and sacrificing for the needs of another church. And he says these words, the sowing principle. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have sufficiency in all things at all times. You may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way which through us will produce the thanksgiving of God. Why did God give us property or ownership or blessing of things? It is so that we can be a blessing to others, to serve with open hands. And that's the attitude that we take on if God is the owner of everything. But if we believe we are, then we're going to hold back everything for ourselves. You know, imagine, which I remember some churches growing up where we had passed the offering plate around and the ushers would stand at the end and give you the look and make sure that you feel. And how many ever were in that experience and you put something in the offering plate? Maybe you were visiting another church or something, and just because you felt guilty. It's like, or what were they going to think? You know, I've done that. It's like, well, you know, I'm in a different church. I'm going to throw a dollar in. I'm going to wad it up, make it look like it's something bigger or something like that. So, God loves a cheerful giver, someone who has open hands, someone who's willing to be generous. And that is the principle of you shall not steal, because it all belongs to God to begin with. Deuteronomy is another verse. He talks about the needy and the poor. He said, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this is the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in need. That's just the opposite of stealing. God is not just saying, do not steal. He's saying, I've given you all these things to bless other people. And so, not only that, it means that we take care of what God has given, not wasting things or letting things fall into disrepair. And we have violated the commandment of God all the time by not taking care of our things, not being good stewards of the property that God has given us. Or, well, we get a big old plate of food and we know that we're not going to eat it all, and we scrape a whole bunch of it into the garbage. That's not being a good steward and taking care of the things God has given us. He's given us from the beginning when he created the earth a calling or a paradigm or the way the earth is supposed to work. In Genesis 1, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, even though earlier our brother gave Brian a hard time about his buck fever disease, but part of the reason why we have a hunting season is to subdue the earth or have dominion and take care so certain species don't overrun. God has given us that responsibility. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. It's all the calling of being a good steward. So responsibility means taking care. And you know what? It should not be that Christians are so against of taking care of the earth, or so against of things like recycling and all that. And then obviously you can go to extreme and adopt some false ideas that the world has, it's coming to an end and things, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we're called as Christians, we of all people should take care of the earth, not throw trash out into the ditches. And we're always, I tell Tanya not to, but she always wants to go and clean up all the garbage and up and down our ditches. And our road, if you'll see it today, is very narrow, and it's a dangerous thing to do. But why? Why do people toss their old McDonald's bags out of the window? But for us as believers, we respect what God has made and be stewards, because we're robbing God of his glory when we do that. And the last thing that we want to talk about is that it means we cannot steal from God, which is ultimately what we're doing. And Malachi gives a good picture of that when he's talking about the Old Testament tithing system. But the principles are still the same. He says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me." But you say, "How have we robbed you? And your tithes and contributions? You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts." And this is the one time where God says to test him, "If you will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." Now, we know in the New Testament and the New Covenant, there's not a command that's like, you need to give this much to the church and this much to so-and-so, but rather it is out of heart of gratitude. But the principles are the same. When we withhold the things that God has given us, we are robbing God. And that can take place in relationships in our homes, relationships with husbands and wives. We withhold our sacrifice and love from them. That's robbing God. It means we cannot steal from God, but must take care of the earth. So the thief says, "What's yours is mine, I'll take it." The selfish person says, "What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it." The godly says, "What's mine is God's, I'll share it." You see, you remember the beauty of the book of Acts and the church when they all came together, and it says they sold everything and had everything in common, and they met everybody's needs in the church. When God is king, there is an atmosphere and community of sharing, and not just our financial blessings, our property, our emotions, our time, our mental capacity, pouring into other people's lives. And that leads us to respect in what the Lord has blessed others with. And this means we cannot steal what God has given to others. Now, probably none of us have ever gone and robbed a bank, right? But we have done some sly things, like the lady in this Norman Rockwell painting. And the butcher, he's pushing the scale down so she'll pay more. She's pushing it up so she'll pay less. We always try to find ways to steal from others. Stealing includes taking even the smallest things and saying things like, and this is very common in our culture today, "They won't miss it. They're rich. I deserve to get this from other people. I'm going to make things equity and equal, right? So I'm going to steal this from that other person. They're not going to miss it." Or they've already taken enough money from me in the price I paid for this service, so why not take a few hotel towels home? For example, one hotel reported in the first year of business having to replace 38,000 spoons, 18,000 tiles, 355 coffee pots, and 100 Bibles. How about underpaying our taxes or making false claims for disability, Social Security? How about adding 5 minutes to a time card at work or carrying home things from home work, using company time for internet games or phone calls, and employee theft of a time and property costs American businesses and their investors more than $200 billion a year. That's a lot of money. And this is probably an old statistic. And this, by the way, affects all of us. This sin of stealing affects us all. According to some estimates, as much as 1/3 of a product's cost goes to cover the various forms of stealing that occur on the way to the marketplace. Corporations stealing from their employees by laying off people and making the few who are left to perform the job of three people. That's stealing. extreme credit card interest, that's stealing. Or those using a credit card planning to never pay it off, that's stealing. Insurance fraud, copyright infringement, using something someone else made, plagiarism, to make money. Or taking credit for someone else's work, that's stealing. And this stealing demonstrates a lack of trust in God's provision and disregard for what God has provided for someone. You know, when we go through the drive-thru and we pay money because math is not probably something that's really emphasized or taught in schools today, so they might inadvertently give you more money, more change than you should get back. Now, most people would say, well, I'll just drive away. But a believer will say, no, you gave me the wrong thing. At the end of the day, your drawer's going to be short, so here's the money. Now, they might fight you, and then there's nothing after that, there's nothing you can do. I've heard of people having that experience. No, you've given me too much. No, you haven't. Then, well, your drawer's going to be short at the end of the day. Well, at that point, you've done what you're responsible to do. Then you can say, okay, I'm not going to fight with you and move on. But you've done the right thing by speaking the truth out in that situation. So it means we can't steal what God has given to other people. God has blessed other people with these things. And it means that we cannot harm or destroy what God has given to others. Now, here's just a quote by John Calvin, but it says, it follows, therefore, that not only those thieves who secretly steal the property of others, but those also who seek gain from the loss of others, accumulate wealth by unlawful practices, and are more devoted to their private advantage than to equity. Let us remember that all those arts whereby we acquire the possessions and money of our neighbors, when such devices depart from sincere affection to a desire to cheat or in some manner to harm, are to be considered as thefts. Martin Luther even goes a little further and says it's the eighth commandment. We violate it whenever we take advantage of our neighbor in any sort of dealing that results in loss to him. So you're selling something and maybe not telling the truth about part of that thing that doesn't work. It's like, yeah, I got them, $500, and the engine doesn't even work. That's stealing. It means we cannot harm or destroy what God has given to others. And again, I want to reemphasize what's happening in our culture again is, well, it doesn't matter. I'm standing up for a good principle, so I'm going to burn this car, or I'm going to graffiti this building, or I'm going to destroy somebody's property because I'm making a statement. It's stealing. It's destruction of someone else's property, of what God has given them. And we must speak the truth in our nation, in our land, because when we speak the Ten Commandments, people are going to hate it, but that gives us the opportunity to say, okay, what's the solution? You violated the commandments of God. You're going to spend eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ died between two thieves. And the one he turned and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It gives us an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. Ephesians 4 gives us this. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anybody in need. And there it is, bringing it all together. Don't steal anymore, but work. Why? So that you could be generous, so that you can bless others. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he says, aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. We should never have to be dependent on deception and stealing things from other people so that we can make it in life. And last, this means we cannot rob from others physically, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally through any kind of abuse or disrespect. Proverbs 22 says, "Do not rob the poor because he's poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them." And then this really drives it home. It's like, it's very tempting with this logic and mindset. Well, mom and dad are supposed to do all these things for me. And I've seen kids grow up into their 20s and 30s and continue to take advantage of their parents. It says, whoever robs his father and mother and says, that's no sin or transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. And so we think about this concept. Stealing is not just taking a physical object. We could steal from others by listening to slander and gossip and building up a story about a person and destroying them. That is stealing from their dignity. When husbands or wives abuse one another, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional, the most common abuse is emotional abuse, by how we talk to one another, words, that's robbing another person of their dignity. How we talk to our children, do we exasperate them? Are we building them up in the Lord? Are we disciplining them correctly? Or are we robbing from them their human dignity and the things that God has given them, their talent? You're a dumb kid. You're stupid. You won't ever amount to anything. And you. The stealing, emotional stealing, mental stealing. How about rejoicing when other people fail? That's stealing emotionally. It means we cannot rob others because every human being is made in the image of God. Respect for what the Lord has blessed others with. God, what about people's calling in their life? Whatever, God has called each and every one of you to something. But when we don't support that, or when we put that down, or we propagate lies about that person, we're literally trying to steal their calling. Trying to discourage them. It's from the devil, because the devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And last of all, it brings us to the recognition of the Lord's ownership over the very life of the believer. And this is where it gets very personal to us as followers of Jesus Christ. We must realize that believers are bought with the precious blood of Jesus and set free from being slaves to sin and the devil. As 1 Peter says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You've been bought with the price of Jesus shedding his blood. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I belong to him. My life belongs to him. Everything that I do and say should flow out of that truth that I belong to Jesus Christ. And believers are also called to honor God with how they use their bodies. He says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Spirit within whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you're bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. Even how we treat our very own bodies, God says, that would be stealing if we don't honor our bodies. And Jesus saved us to honor our bodies and how we treat even ourselves in this manner, and the things that we participate in our bodies, or the things that we put into our bodies, and all of that, it goes with it together, robbing God of the glory of his creation. And last of all, believers live as the very children of the Lord. You see, that changes everything that we do and say, because we're no longer a sinner, a homeless sinner. We're now a homebound saint because we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And we're called to live in that glory and that delight. And so as we go through these today, we have to remember that the Lord and the Creator is the Creator and everything belongs to Him. And we're talking about you shall not steal. We must take responsibility with the blessings and even rejoice in what God has given us. Instead of looking at what someone else has or what you don't have, look at what you do have in your personality, in who God made you to be, in the gifts and your even your skills and your talents and your jobs and whatever it is that you do for the Lord. And that leads to respect for what God has blessed others with. It means we can't take from them. And then recognition that the Lord, as a believer in Jesus Christ, my life belongs to Him. I want to close with one of the greatest examples of someone who stole from God, and that is in Acts chapter 5. This guy was the name of Ananias, and his wife was Sapphira. And so they basically sold a piece of they sold some property. And they saw during that time there was a lot of other Christians that were giving everything to meet the needs of other people. And they said, well, we want to have that status too. We want to look good in the church too. So, but what we're going to do, Ananias hatched a little plan and his wife was in on it too. He said, we're going to just keep back part of the profit of the property, and then we're going to give our gift as if we're giving everything. And so Peter confronted him and said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? So do you see how, and then he says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you've contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, I thank God that this is given to us in the scripture as an example, that this is not the norm of what happens in Christianity, although it does still happen. But the whole thing is, he said, you know, you could have just said, here's part of the proceeds of my property, and everything would have been fine. He still could have kept some for himself. But the fact that he, in his heart, before the people of God, lied and then kept back the part, that's robbing God of his glory. And you and I are in that condition, just like the two robbers that hung on each side of Jesus on the hill of Calvary. In Matthew 27, it says, when two robbers were crucified him, one on the right and one on the left, and those who passed derided him, wagging their heads. And then in Luke 23, you have this thing occurring where one of the thieves was mocking Jesus on the cross. And the other one said, this is his response. He says, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We all have a problem with stealing, and we all have the solution, and that is to put our trust in the one who did nothing wrong, which is what this robber, this thief, did on the cross. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And I want to leave this last verse for us to ponder. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about the devil. Those are traits of the evil one. Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that's exactly what he offered to that thief on the cross, free of charge. And so you have a problem with stealing. We have problems with stealing. It might even be little things, little tiny things. But that's where we come back to the cross. We come back to the grace of Jesus Christ. And we say, Jesus, I just can't do this on my own. I'm putting myself in that place, that robber. I recognize, Jesus, you did nothing wrong so that I can have eternal life. And to hear those words, in fact, that is the cure to stealing. Today you will be with me in paradise, the forgiveness of sin. And so I want to challenge you as we move ahead and as saints in our journey to grow closer to Jesus Christ. I want to invite the worship team to come, is to think on these things today. Father God, we come before you and thank you for your holy word. And Lord, we also see ourselves in light of your commandments as very fallen, as thieves, as liars. But Lord Jesus, we turn to you, one who has no lies, the one who has not stolen, the one who is perfect and holy. And we turn to you for grace. And God, we ask your forgiveness for the ways that we've held our hands shut, and as if the things we have are ours and not yours. Lord, we ask that you would teach us how to take good care of the blessings that you poured out on us, and that you would teach us to respect the blessings that you've given to other people. God, I pray for healing in our workplaces and in our families and in our churches, that you would speak your life and your abundant life into each and every one of our lives. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.